notes all around. So can I ask everybody a question? Do you have any idea what I just said about the United Methodist Church? So they have now joined, and everybody else can, if you know of others, they've now joined, and I'm being, by the way, everybody, I'm being specific. You actually have to listen, meaning you can't assume. The Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. That's not the Missouri Synod. That's not the Wisconsin Synod. There's even a couple of smaller ones. There's one in, Jenny and I saw, and Bowder saw in the far north, that is an evangelical, true evangelical group. PCUSA, United Church of Christ, Unitarian Universalist. I'm not sure what is they believe. All of these groups now, they do not allow homosexuality. You have to get over whatever you think. They promote it and listen and demand it. They demand that if they want to send a gay pastor to your little church, gay marriage, you must perform it, gay bishops in these groups. All I know is you're sitting there, I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking, is this a conservative trying to slam them or a liberal? And at the end, it was just factual. I am a lesbian. My pronouns are. Now, do y'all reckon John Wesley would be cool with that? Now, the United Methodist Church, in case you don't know, last year in a very short period of time, lost about one-third, in America we're speaking, one-third of their churches. About half of their population and probably two-thirds of their money. A bunch of the churches split off and are gathering in other groups. But here's the thing, Joseph, you would know this, United Methodist Church has not been conservative theologically forever. Friends, it's been since the 1920s and 30s. So there were still remnants. They're not conservative. Don't go to United Methodist Church thinking you're going to hear the gospel. Now you're going to hear the gospel of gay, transgender, etc. Joseph, do you experience this on the base?
Somewhat. Surprisingly, I have met some Methodist chaplains that, you know, they're endorsed by the United Methodist Church that hold to somewhat conservative biblical views, but they know they're at odds with the denominational leadership, but they're more loyal to the title I'm a Methodist than they are to I'm a, what the Bible is.
Yes.
And again, you know, I understand, you know, that they're raised in one way. Again, the Methodist Church is large enough, again, to grassroots. You know, groups are in mostly, there is a conservative Bible-believing element in it, but the higher level leadership, and then they're a top-down denomination.
Most of these are in one way or another top-down.
You know, so they, you know, it's gone down.
Anyone else have a thought or a comment? By the way, this is the real world, so now you're getting some of the worst nonsense in America from so-called churches. So don't be surprised if you find people that go to church pretty much on a regular basis and you're like, wow. All right, in your notes, we're going to look at characteristics of Christian ethics and morality. There are two sets of notes out there. They're slightly different because I covered the other stuff a couple weeks back. And we're just going to, and you will just skip it. If you have it in your notes, you'll just skip it. To deal with the subject of Christian ethics, morals, and morality, I think the first thing that would be worthy of an entire Sunday school in itself, ethics are in your notes, and this comes from two streams of thought. I believe they go together. Ethics must be God-given. Meaning they come from the way God kind of designed us. Does that make sense? They also, and you will, you read especially the Baptist of the Revolutionary War era and right after that, they'll use a lot of the same language that our Declaration uses. I'm not going to defend this totally, because there's philosophical issues, but just to say, our country was founded from both the secular side and the Christian side, and there was really no big debate. All of this kind of led the same direction as the idea. Things are self-evident, morality-wise. Some of this comes from Romans 1 and other places. Look in your notes. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as this is written, the just shall live by faith. On the other hand, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold," I didn't put anything there, it doesn't mean hold like I'm holding this marker, it means to hold something down, to suppress something. They suppress or hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God in some way is manifest in them. This is where the self-evident comes from. This is called usually natural revelation. By the way, the other side is usually called in theology anyhow, special revelation. But as a Christian, we would assume they both kind of point in the same direction. So in some way, this is revealed in people, in us. He goes on to say, "For God has showed it not only in them, but unto us." He's revealed it unto them. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now, friends, for me, let me step back one step back. Over here, no one in this section, over here, Bob Jones Sr., you know what his denomination was? Methodist. He left the Methodist Church in the 20s. You understand it was liberal then. Now, again, grassroots, rural communities. I grew up with a little Methodist church where I grew up in Rosedale, Illinois, that preached the gospel at least through the 70s. I don't know today, but through the 70s, by the way, Joseph, you know what they would do? They would take evangelicals and stick them out in some
small church
someplace where they couldn't cause trouble in the big churches with money. They were doing that then. When I went to Covenant Seminary, I met a bunch of Methodists that were the Bible believers that were trying to take a stand, getting an education in a conservative school so they could take a stand. By the way, pretty much all those folks are gone now. They almost overwhelmingly voted against any kind of biblical morality. I want to say this. When Bob Jones Sr. was writing, and it's been years since I've read that stuff, the big issue was this. I know that we still have people very big into creationism, and I am a six-day, all that. I'm all for it. That is not where kids are at today. That is long, long ago. Kids in your family, my family, all kids are exposed. It's in the air they breathe. I'm not saying they follow it. I'm saying they're exposed to it, to morality issues. And specifically today, transgender nonsense. I'm not even going to try to convince you. They just are. They breathe this stuff. It's every place. So years ago, I'm watching a program on TV. By the way, and there's people in this room that like the program, do not speak. Listen, I think it was called Deep Space Nine, I believe. And they had a woman on there that was kind of like two species or something. I don't remember the whole process. By the way, you guys don't realize, maybe you don't realize, Star Trek, is it Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Trek.
Was very philosophically undergirded. They were promoting some very specific things in exceptionally subtle ways to get people to see things are not, look at me, as self-evident as we think they are. Now, I'm not saying the program pushed that too far, but I saw it real quickly. about Star Trek more, maybe tonight or next 2 weeks from now. You'll really like me then. But you won't know what I'm going to do. We're going to talk about modernism and postmodernism, which, by the way, is part of Star Trek in the biggest way you can imagine. Anyhow, in your notes, I cannot teach and convince kids, but this is the way I think about morality. Christians usually understand morals or morality to be built into creation or self-evident. Saying in another way, it's not just this, God says, though that's true. But it's also saying, well, I wonder if God created the world, how did he create the world to work? I'm asking you a question. So let's ask this question. If all cattle were gay, would we have a problem? We wouldn't be eating cattle, that's for sure. Folks, you know, some of this stuff to me, I grew up on a farm, and it's like, really? So animals are smarter than humans? Really? Yes, in some ways, much smarter. We've just had an arrival. Oh my goodness. Are you finished?
Yeah.
Let's give her a hand here. Yeah. And you did well. You survived. How did you do?
Barely
survived. I think you did better than that. Well, let me just say again, morality is designed that way. That's the way I look at it. Self-evident. Next in your notes, wired that way. Again, we've already used this word, self-evident. I think probably the most profound thing is when I saw the United Methodist Church doing this, just denying everything. By the way, not only do we deny the Bible, are y'all listening? We deny the Bible. We deny something in some ways as important. Do you think we're the first humans that have ever lived on planet Earth? I dare you to find some culture where gay lifestyle is the norm. It doesn't work. So in your notes, morality also is cross-cultural in the sense that all cultures basically have always lived this way. Meaning, cross-culture means across, they apply across cultures and throughout time. So you do enough reading, you say, what about so-and-so? By the way, perversion has always been there. But as cultures, for a culture to survive, certain things have to be built in. This is what you will find very quickly. Most cultures, not perfect, are very big on this. Because the family unit is what makes your culture move forward. You destroy the family unit, and what do you have? Well, you've seen what you have. Have you been watching college campuses? That's exactly what you have. Nobody knows what that nonsense is. So these things, the biblical morality is, yes, it's God-given. And I have no problem with saying God stated. We'll look at that in a moment. But it's also something that's part of the way God made things. So it becomes self-evident. It becomes designed that way. Lastly, in this section, it's simply the way things work. Or if you prefer, the way other things don't work. They're the way things work, or the way other things don't work. I need to say one more thing about cross-culture. I read too much. My wife now watches videos on history too much. She's almost as cynical as I am by historians. We do not have time to talk about the thing that we hear on how many times, Jenny? By the way, history is a history of invasions. Well, not according to modern historians. It was all peaceful migration. Jenny, am I being correct? And you hear it all over the world. Because, see, if anything else, then you can't be a Marxist. And you can't divide people between the colonized and the colonizers. But one of the things you're going to hear is they will go back and look throughout history. You know, wiggle through history and find some little group of people, 12 people, who shared husbands. And by finding this little group of 12 people that shared husbands, and by the way, everything exists in history, that doesn't disprove the cross-cultural. You actually got to look at societies that have more than 12 people. And you know what you'll find, strangely? Most societies are very simple and similar. There's like a father, ready? There's a mother, children. It's kind of the way God made things. Yeah, you can find, so you can find in history 10,000 cultures that look very similar, but you can find one little place, someplace, and the liberals are experts at this. Oh, Pastor Warren, that's not true. But there's a group in, yeah, okay. Well, there's more history out there than some weird group you've dug up. Lastly, in the bottom, and this is obviously also, is sometimes this is called natural law. Again, law built into nature itself. So Christian morals are God-given or self-evident. Pastor Warren, I see those as the same because, can I say it this way, the God that commands is also the God that created. So if he commanded, he probably, if he says this is the way to live, probably he created us that way. It's like Louis Hedas. I like to pick on Louis. I know it's true. I am sure, Louis, anything you purchase, you read the owner's manual right up front, don't you? By the way, the Bible is the owner's manual. God created you and me, and he says, this is how it works. Now, I know I don't read directions or owner's manuals unless I am forced to. I have also learned that people like Mr. Losey, which I love to death, but not in this area. I hated him for this. You know, Mr. Losey would read the directions. Irritate me to death. You think Mr. Losey, he could just fix something. He always read the whole thing, laid it out, looked at it, and I'm like, no, you just do it, and then you fix it afterwards.
And if it doesn't work, then you get out the manual.
Can I say this? Isn't that what we're doing today?
Yep.
We'll try to fix it. We'll pass some more laws. These people are having mental problems. We need to give them counselors. Do you not think living this way causes mental problems? Well, next, things are rule-oriented. Pastor Kwok, would you be as kind as to read the verses underneath? Everybody read. You're going to get bored after a while. Go ahead, Tim.
Exodus 24:12, and the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. 31:18, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. 32:15, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both sides, both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. 32:16, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. 34:1, and the Lord said unto Moses.
Do we need to keep reading? By the way, now that I got a question. In your culture, in the Philippines, if you don't know, you just say you don't know. And I grew up with this statement. I was just part of my family speak. That's written in stone. I think it comes from text like this. So when something was written in stone, you know what that meant? You didn't really debate that. It's written in stone. The Bible was written in stone. So we have a group, by the way, religious people, that have denied that God created people to live a certain way. By the way, in creation and his commands point the same way. They have also denied this is written in stone. Doesn't change. You didn't use, that's not a phraseology you guys would use. Maybe some families would. I mean, I think many of us grew up with that kind of language. That's just written in stone. You don't even debate it. Well, secondly, things have to be rule or law oriented. Because, friends, all morality today is based on, what did you say, Mike?
Feelings,
all right, yes. Everything is based on feelings. And specifically, which feeling?
My feelings.
Well, yeah, my feelings, but the feelings of love. Okay, love. Love. All right, in your notes, Exodus chapter 20 on the next page gives you those Ten Commandments written in stone. I'm not going to read all of it, and I have summarized this because just to get the bullet points. For all of you that have done thinking about these, two of them are positive, eight of them are negative. Can I tell you this to you as a parent? You need to learn that. Do you realize most kids don't get the positive until they understand the negative? You don't go in that door. Why? Written in stone, shut up. You don't go in that door. And the moment you get into your emotions and feelings, the kid's in that door. That's our whole culture. The kids are in charge now. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's written in stone. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. So no other gods. No forms of images, icons, or ideas that are contrary to Scripture about God. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I have a question. Why is it the first words people learn in English is Jesus Christ is a curse word? I was talking to a Chinese guy that couldn't speak English, but he knew Jesus Christ. How do you learn that? Verse 8. This principle of the Sabbath. These are the two positives. These are the bookends. First table of the law, second table of the law. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, which in the modern culture was the Lord's Day, in my opinion. Then honor thy father and thy mother. Those are the two positives. That's the top of the next table. Then you have thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Killing, of course, would be more properly murder. I think modern translations say murder. Because it's talking about premeditated murder for no reason other than murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Let me look around here this morning. She's not here. I don't want to... Can I borrow your purse? It's buried. There must be something in there. You should read the package. Okay.
357.
I got a question for you. If I took this verse and set it down in your presence and left it for a week, would you feel obligated to look? I'm asking you a question. You realize stealing is a problem that we have in our culture. By the way, the idiots breaking into buildings on campuses, you do realize that the farm is stealing other people's property, not their own. Christian lives a certain way. You have property, I have property, I don't steal your property. I'm putting this over here by Tim because the only person I know that is as bad as me is him. If you left this in his office, it'd still be there whenever you picked it up. Same place, just dust on it. How do I know that? Because if it isn't his, he doesn't go into it. You don't understand that. I know people that go into the... I'm not going into this purse because it's heavy and I don't want to know what's in there. Thank you. There might be things I shouldn't see.
I'll say Bible.
What did you say?
I'll say Bible.
Okay, whatever. Now I'm going to say this to you and you don't have to agree with me. For me, there's only one really hard one in the Ten Commandments. They're all difficult in their own way. The hardest one for me is the 17th, the 10th commandment. Because American culture, by the way, friends, I love America, but you better realize something. American culture's great sin is covetous. Don't kid yourself. It is our sin. It is our whole life. Many of us spend our whole life to get more stuff. And I looked around our house and I'm thinking, time to start divesting of stuff. Otherwise, Amy's going to have to go through there one day. And she's not going to like going through that stuff. Y'all know what I mean? By the way, why did you buy all that stuff? Be honest. Because you needed more stuff.
Just because we can.
Just because you can.
We needed that stuff.
Yeah, well, Tom needed pulleys for Mike. I know where some of this comes from.
Some junk is antique, junk is reusable.
Yes. All right, in your notes, I'm going to hurry through this. I'm not trying to prove anything this morning. Mark chapter 12, Pastor Kwok, would you read that for me, please?
And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these."
Go ahead and read the next two.
"Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise."
1 Peter 2:17, I'm not going to read. We've dealt with that many times, and I deal with that in Bible class ad nauseum with kids. I want to just go down to the very bottom and just state this. Basically, the scripture teaches there's two tables of the law. There's the first table, and then there's the second. Normally, the way we envision this is in this fashion. If I can make sure I write the right things in here. You can write down however you want. The first table deals with this, loving God, or to love God, whichever. The second table deals with loving our neighbor, are loving other people. They are, love is invested in this. You know, what's the great commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, but to love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, the first, this is commandment 1 through 4, and this is commandment 5 through 10. The two positives being 4 and 5. They're more or less the bookends. The bottom you have, remember the Sabbath, that's the first positive. The second one is honor father and mother. So you have a very simple way of remembering these. Love is in this. But friends, love is not equivalent to the commandments. The commandments say, this is what it means to love somebody. So let me say this, please don't come to me and rob my house and tell me you love me. Hello? See, that's what we do in America. Everything is a love in America. As long as, you all remember, you have to be old like me now. Back in the day when they were pushing for gay marriage in America, which, by the way, is unknown to kids today, gay what? What was the deal? They love each other, yes? Love is the solution. Today, we don't even talk about that anymore, but love has to be described and defined, and it's described by things that are rules. This is what it means to love God. You don't choose how to love God. God tells you. God, and this is what it means to love your neighbor. God designs it in the law. This is how you do it. You don't lie to them. You don't lie about them. You don't do those sorts of things. Well, in your notes, so you have on both sides, the first to the fourth commandment, 5th through the 10th. You also have over here, if you want to turn your Bibles to Romans 13, we'll look there also. Then there's an extension on here, the golden rule, basically, which was, that's the Matthew 7:12, Luke 6:31. Normally, it's stated in the fashion of Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. It's not the only thing the law and the prophets say, because it's just directed to other people. It's not talking about our relationship with God. But loving one's neighbor means to treat them as you want to be treated. Romans 13 also has a similar, it's found in several places, friend. Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything, talking about taxes and honor, verse 7. But to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. But it's not love, look folks, it's not love extracted from obedience. How we love somebody is the Ten Commandments. So you go back up to the Ten Commandments. How do you love your mother and your father? You honor thy father and thy mother. Hello? How do you love another person? By murdering them? No, you honor them as humans. You give their life value. Same with morality issues, adultery. Same with stealing. I remember, by the way, I'd been through Bible college. I was in seminary. John Stormer wrote a book in the 60s before he was saved called None Dare Call It Treason. And a guy from Missouri became a best-selling author. John Stormer came to our church and was talking about this and talking about, look at me, private property, because he understood Marxism very well before he was saved. And guess what? Private property is built into the Ten Commandments. How do I know that? When it says thou shalt not steal, that implies you own something. It's yours. It's not the government's, and it's not whoever owns it. This is built into our system, friend. Why don't you? So if you say, how do I love somebody? I don't steal from them. I don't lie to them. Don't mistreat them. You honor them as individuals. There's also other passages that deal with the same thing. That's far enough for right now. In your notes, right above that, what does the Ten Commandments look like? And this is just a summary, folks. I'm not trying to say everything about the Ten Commandments. The first commandment is protecting God's honor. Actually, the first four. Commandments 1-4 is protecting God's honor. Kids need to learn this because God has designed us and he has commanded us. The fourth commandment, which is attached, is protecting the rhythms of life that God himself established. We had talked about that in the past. I don't want to be, what's the term? I don't want to feel like an old geezer, always like a chainsaw. Friend, most of Christianity is simple. Can I say this? Most of the problems that I find with children, if I could get them, their parents, not them, to understand that God created the world. Everybody in agreement? Let's ask the second question. If he created the world, including you, do you think he told us how to live in this world?
Yes.
So you ever heard this phrase? There's a morning and the evening. Guess what you do? It's called sleep. And during the day, you do what you're supposed to do. Did you grow up in a family like this? Nothing good ever happens past midnight? When do most of your crimes happen, Tom? Now, that doesn't mean they don't happen during the day, but nighttime is like, what were you doing out at 3 a.m., please? You know what 3 a.m. is good for? Rolling over on the other side and going back to sleep. All right, let's look at these rhythms. You all understand? Daily rhythms, weekly rhythms. I saw a little blur for some TV program, and I was like instantly angry. Showed a kid in bed, middle of the night, little kid, 5, 6, 7, 8, his phone rang. Why does he have a phone, number one? Number two, why is it in his bed? You know what the night's good for? Sleeping. So when I go to I go to school tomorrow, not mad at anybody, I'm not going to tell you who they are, I'll walk into my Bible class, I will have the same two or three guys asleep within the first few seconds. You know why? They don't sleep at night. What do they do at night? Video games, cell phones, all the little silliness. By the way, there is such a thing as Sabbath day, the daily cycles, it's the way God made us. Kim, can I say this and you don't have to answer? You know what you learned the first year of college? How to schedule your life, correct? And if you don't survive. Is that about right? Can I say this to you? This is the reason college gets easier. Because by the second year, unless you're really, and you're not, stupid, you know I've got to schedule my life to make sure I succeed, correct? Does it change, Brenna, when you're in your level of education? You still have to schedule your world, don't you? You don't have any problems with scheduling, talking problems, or anything like that? You don't want to schedule. 1 hour and 30 minutes of talking. Okay.
Yeah, that's
the silent period.
By the way, I'm being funny, but it is the truth, is it not? Most of life is learning to schedule yourself. All right, let's continue on. None of these are real profound. Next, of course, the fifth commandment is protecting the family. By the way, when I saw this stuff, I'm gay, my pronouns are, you know, and they just started listening to this nonsense. My first thought is, do you know there's a commandment in the Bible to honor thy, say it.
Father and mother.
You know, that's pretty simple. How exactly being a he, she, it, they, them, whatever, what part of honor? This is not something, look at me. Morality is not something on the outskirts of Christianity that we can discuss. It's written in stone. You can't violate it. And we're doing it in, can you imagine going to that church? Wow. Protecting the family, next. Protecting human life. Is that important? By the way, where does that start? Starts with conception of the baby, yes. Where, by the way, the more we have abortion, guess what? The less human life is appreciated. It's not important. Boy, we are there now. Protecting human life. The adultery is, of course, protecting marriage. Not stealing. And the next one is protecting private property. You say, you're a capitalist. Well, friend, I want to say this. Yes, I am, for a lot of reasons. Number one, I grew up in a country that was capitalist. I've already told you the big sin of capitalism, have I not? Covetousness. But may I say this? But on the other hand, the Bible assumes private property every place, which means if it's someone else's property, it's not yours. Now, there were just some people killed in Mexico. They were out surfing someplace out on the West Coast. Is that right? 3 or 4 people? I can tell you this. Do you understand what that's going to do to the surfing business in Mexico? Some criminals decided to off some people. You better understand these people. Many people in Mexico are trying to make an honorable living and get some idiots to decide to murder people. You start doing that. You start looking. You start stealing private property. You start mistreating people. Your culture comes unwound, which sounds about like Chicago. You say, you're an anti-Chicago. No, I love elements of Chicago. Well, how about this one? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That is protecting, are you ready? Sorry, reality and truth. Do you all think reality and truth is worth protecting?
Yes.
Or is it my truth and I'm just speaking my truth? Can you do me a favor? Can I take you down into the country someplace where there's a big Angus bull in the pasture? Some of you are like an Angus bull. Hereford would be okay too. Charolais would be better because they're bigger. I'd like to get you a 2,000 to 3,000 pound bull, and I'd like you to talk about your truth as that bull is chasing you through the pasture. By the way, friend, truth is simply a reflection of, look at me, reality. The more we push this love, feelings, I identify, I'm speaking my, it sounds really wonderful in isolation. This is also the reason we were out yesterday, Jenny and I, John was with us. We had lunch with Satish and Rashida. Sorry, Tim, I didn't invite you for Indian food. It was terrible. They went out west. Jenny, remember that story? They went out west and they were following people. And they wanted to see a bison or a buffalo, whatever's out there. I know they're not identical. I don't think they'd seen any, and all the traffic was going a certain direction, and they just decided to follow, and they got in this group of people, and all of a sudden they got surrounded by about 400. Can I say this? Your truth doesn't matter one lick. And those animals, she had a red dress on. I don't know what it is about red. I know bulls don't like red. I like the thing. I don't know where I saw it. I need to bring it next week. Where there was a sign. I've seen this done two different ways. Forgive me, this is a cop story. I did the cop story because it was the funniest. cop came and he had it, says, I got a warrant, I'm gonna look over everything on your property. And the guy said, don't go in the pasture. And he says, listen, I have a warrant. You know, the guy was a little slow, but it is funny. And then finally the guy says, okay, you can go. He gets out there and there's a dumb bull in the pasture. And he's chasing the cop, and the guy yells at him. You know what he yells at him?
But I have
show him your badge. Now, I'm not picking on cops. I just think it's funny because we live in a world where people don't realize reality exists. Can I say this? Your children, grandchildren, we have to live, which I think most people here do, a way that tells people there is reality here. There is right. The right and wrong is not just something, you know, up there in religion world. It's the way we live because it's the way God designed us. Or otherwise, show them your warrant. So anyhow, Rashida, and I guess Satish, according to the son, when the animals, these are big animals, and they're rubbing on your car, they're licking on the car in front of you. Now, they're not a carnivorous animal, but you know, a big animal. I'll just tell the story and be done. They used to sit right here, Tim and Debbie McGrail. Never forget her grandmother was in a lot out on a farm, pregnant. And a bull, with horns, gored her to death. One swipe, that was it. Can I say this? If you recognize that stealing is the same thing, this is not some cutesy little thing, oh yeah, Baptist, this is reality. You start messing with reality, guess what happens? Civilizations start collapsing. I have to say this, and we're late. I'm not gonna say who. I talked to a person last Sunday that was not happy with America. And I couldn't disagree with him. He said, do you not realize America, when they go to Africa, they want to help as long as Africans accept the transgender crap. Do you realize we're exporting this more than any other? That's our number one export, starting under Barack Obama. So we'll help your country financially as long as. And guess what? So here, poor Africans, you ever wonder why China has so much bite in Africa? Because we now have people pushing this in other countries. We'll pick up here next week. Probably next week, yes. I think that'll finish us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Thank you very much. Brenda, we're very happy you're home.